Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Presidential candidates in the final days of the campaign retracing battleground states. Former President Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris, both in North Carolina and later Wisconsin today. Harris and Raleigh urging people to get out the vote.
So remember, your vote is your voice, and your voice is your power.
Harris also conducting an interview with a Spanish language radio program in Philadelphia, saying she fully supports Puerto Rico and criticized Donald Trump for, quote, disrespecting cultures and people that he doesn't, of where places he doesn't come from. It comes as President Biden is facing criticism for comments referring to Trump supporters as garbage after a comedian at a Trump rally called Puerto Rico a floating island of garbage. Israeli forces are carrying out strikes in eastern Lebanon, targeting Hezbollah, issuing urgent evacuation orders for an entire city of Baalbek, including a UNESCO heritage site. And at least 72 are dead in eastern Spain, ravaged by historic flash flooding. This is
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Enrollment at the universities of Wisconsin has seen a solid uptick this fall, despite a significant drop in enrollment at branch campuses. Overall, UW campuses saw an increase of about 1.2% for the fall 2024 semester, equivalent to about 1,900 new students. UW-Madison has the largest enrollment as expected, with nearly 52,000 students. UW-Milwaukee was second with about 22,000, and UW-Oshkosh was third with about 13,000. The enrollment increase marks the second straight year of growth at UW schools. With the election just days away, this year's race for the 3rd Congressional District in Wisconsin has become the most expensive in district history. According to campaign finance documents, Republican incumbent Derek Van Orden and Democratic challenger Rebecca Cook have raised nearly $12 million in total. Congressman Van Orden raised more, with $6.6 million through mid-October. Cook raised about $5.3 million through the same point. Polling shows the district is one of the most competitive in the country. Some Hayward area residents had a chance to get some boating safety instruction at a seminar this week. The organization that hosted the seminar, Fishing Has No Boundaries, is focused on helping people of all ability levels get out on the water to enjoy a fun day of fishing. The seminars were for volunteers with Fishing Has No Boundaries, hoping to share tips and tricks from various chapters of the organization to maximize their impact. The Hayward seminar session was conducted by U.S. Coast Guard auxiliary instructors. Republican Congressman Tom Tiffany has significantly outraised his Democratic challenger Kyle Kilborn with just a few days left before the election. According to campaign finance reports, Tiffany has raised nearly $1.2 million through mid-October, compared to just $215,000 from Kilborn. Tiffany also reported having about $210,000 left over for the last 3 weeks of the campaign, while Kilborn reported having about $35,000 left over. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Badgers face a new Iowa quarterback. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, college football. When the Badgers play the Hawkeyes in Iowa Saturday night, it'll be against a new quarterback. Brendan Sullivan, expected to be the starter after Iowa's Cade McNamara went down with an injury early against Northwestern last weekend. Sullivan led Iowa to a 40-14 win, scoring 37 unanswered points, and was asked what he'd like to improve on against Wisconsin.
Like everybody else, there's a lot to improve on, whether that's passing, whether that's running, I think decision-making as well. I think just adds another element to be able to run the ball, but definitely a lot of film to go back and look at and learn from.
Badgers head coach Luke Fickell now facing Sullivan at quarterback.
There is a different skill set, and so you got to be aware of that. And so just to mix another little challenge, I don't think it's going to come up there before the idea that this is going to be a physical, tough game. And if you can't outmatch or match their physical toughness and mental toughness, that it won't matter who's at quarterback.
Baseball, game 5 of the World Series tonight in New York. The Dodgers lead the Yankees 3-1. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Here we go. Those temperatures are crashing. Got rain rolling in, ramping up tonight, potentially mixing with snow through the overnight and into early tomorrow morning before it flips to all snow tomorrow afternoon. Trick-or-treat forecast, temperatures will be at 34 degrees. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 51 degrees.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Matt Nair on air.
Darren Van Rooten, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden wasn't really concerned about hearing from the farmers after he got done being unhappy with you about an ad you made months ago.
Our members didn't get to tell their stories. And in the end, if you don't agree with each other, at least the conversation can happen. That really didn't happen.
One would think being in Congress would require a slightly thicker skin.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, Matt Rothschild joins me in studio. Wisconsin State Rep Francesca Hong on the status of the Wisconsin election. Plus, Greg Palast joins us talking about the mega dirty tricks. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt Nair on air.
Live on location, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zomers, back home at the studios in Madison, high atop State Street off the Capitol Square. We are here on location in beautiful Osseo, Wisconsin, just south of Eau Claire. For those that might not know exactly where Osseo is in northwest Wisconsin. Specifically, we are at the historic, the iconic Norske Nook here in downtown Osseo. I've turned off Trigby's mic because he's eating pie as we speak. He has a chocolate pie and milk. Yes, yeah, whole milk. And he's enjoying his pie. Trigby Olson, like myself, a Wisconsinite and now a senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. Reed Galen, one of the co-founders of the Lincoln Project and now the president of the union, is here at the table. He and I are waiting for pie until after, until after
we get off. Be
patient. Coming up in a moment, we have State Representative Jody Emerson, who represents the 91st Assembly District here in this region. But right now, many thanks go out to Kay, one of the owners here of Norske Nook, and we are joined at the table by Gene Singshine. Did I get that right?
Singshine,
one of the managers here at Norske Nook. Gene, welcome to the program. Thank you so very much for being on.
Thank you.
My pleasure. So how long have you been at the Norske Nook?
About 29 years.
Wow.
Second time.
Mm-hmm. So you the second tour of duty, so to speak. What brought you back?
I started across the street with Helen.
Okay.
And I was there for about 10 years.
Uh-huh.
And then I had grandkids, so I had to watch them.
Although that's important, right? Gotta watch the grandkids. So tell us, you truly are a historian of this enterprise, of this business. We like to go around. Yesterday we were in Viroqua talking to the owners of Wonder Steak Coffee. These small town iconic businesses, we think, are part of what makes Wisconsin great. Tell us a little bit about the Norske Nook.
Well, we bake our pies from scratch, right down to the crust. Mm-hmm. All of fillings are made from scratch.
Wow.
Everything's done from scratch.
That really is. I mean, the pies, which Trigby is almost through already.
He ate it in three bites.
I know, but it's so good, but you can't help it. It's so good. And now you have other locations. Tell folks where, not just here in Osseo, but for other listeners around the state, where they could get this great homemade pie.
We're in Rice Lake, and we're in DeForest.
Yeah. I'm very happy you guys came to DeForest. I don't want, because I can actually drive from Madison out there occasionally. What I think is cool is when people, if you want to get a whole pie, you actually get the tin, you pay a deposit on it, right?
Yep, and then you return the tin, you get your $6 back.
Oh.
I mean, who does that these
Brilliant.
Days, right?
Brilliant.
I mean, it's recycling, it's conservation-minded, and it also just makes a lot of sense, and it's a heck of a lot easier than those kind of tinish pie plates that move around.
We do those in the small pies, in the 9-inch pies.
Yeah. And these
who would get a 9-inch pie? Though?
Right.
I mean, if you could get a big one. Right, Gene? Like, who would get a small one?
Right. All right, Trigger, you're on. Yeah.
So, Gene.
Yes.
How does somebody go online if they're living somewhere other than in
like Washington, D.C.
or Hayward or Rice Lake? Like in Washington, D.C., how do I get my Norske Nook Left Sun pie for the Christmas season?
Well, you don't. I mean, we don't ship pies anymore. We
you
used
don't.
To. No, we used to, but we don't ship
come
pies.
Here.
You got to come.
You got to move back to Wisconsin, Trigby.
You just travel here and get your
pies. It's like Spotted Cow.
Right?
I need an export business from Wisconsin. Norske Nook Pies and Left Sun, Spotted Cow.
But great locations. Open how many days a week?
Seven
days a week, so people can stop by here at Osseo, Rice Lake, or DeForest. Yeah. And it's not just pies and sweets. Yes, you have cookies. We also have a great meal as well. Tell us about some of the iconic sandwiches.
We have wraps. Excuse me. We have wraps made with lefse.
Wow. And which is homemade.
Yeah.
Now, for me, who's not from Wisconsin, is not Norwegian, what is lefse?
It's made with mashed, with potatoes.
Okay.
Cooked potatoes.
Okay.
And we get ours from Blair.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Blair, Wisconsin. Very good.
Yeah.
That's fine. So, very good. And there's butter in there. There's butter and potatoes, right?
Yeah. Well, it's made with potatoes and then it's rolled real thin.
On a really hot griddle.
On a, mm-hmm. Yes.
Really hot.
Right. Really hot.
Don't touch the griddle. I learned that at Grandma's house long ago. Touch the griddle. You're only going to do that once.
Yeah. Right.
Well, it's great, and we thank you for your hospitality. Your entire staff has been amazing. You've been amazing. Thanks for letting us take up this corner. There's also homemade arts, or not arts and crafts, but crafts. There's aprons. There's some towels here. There's some cards, some sweatshirts and T-shirts, all kinds of great merchandise when you stop by here in downtown Osseo as well.
We used to be across the street with the merchandise, and staff is limited. So.
Right.
I will tell you how good this place is.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't know the story, but I lived overseas for a bunch of years. I was living in Lithuania. Come back to see my parents in River Falls, and we would drive over here to the Norske Nook to have lunch.
Look at that. See?
Literally would drive over here. We'd stop in Spring Valley, go see like my grandmother's gravesite, stop at the Katie Cheese Factory, and then we would come here.
We have a lot of
lunch.
People that travel in between. This is their stop. Yeah.
Well, I'm one of them. My sister and brother-in-law live in Eau Claire, so on the way back to Madison, we pull off here and have some pie.
Yep.
So.
This is one of, and I say this, having eaten in restaurants in seven
the world.
Countries around the world, this is one of the two greatest restaurants that I know.
There you go. How about that?
Yes.
Well, thank you very much, Gene. Appreciate you stopping by. We're going to switch microphones here. Thanks for being the hospitable, and everybody should come on over to Norske Nook here in Osseo, DeForest, or up in Rice Lake, and it's a great business.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being a part of what makes Wisconsin great. We really, really appreciate it. How about that, guys? You're very welcome. We're going to switch out headsets here, and pleased to welcome in our next guest here live and in person. We don't get a lot of live guests, guys. What are they? Actually come
to
the table.
Look at the three of us.
Right.
Well, this is definitely the rose with three thorns.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly.
Come hang out with us.
So we appreciate her being here. She is a state representative from this area, the 91st Assembly District. She has been elected since 2018. And here's a switch. Trigby Olson was born in River Falls, but as a graduate of UW-Eau Claire. Representative Emerson was born in Eau Claire, but a graduate of UW-River Falls. So how about that?
Are you a North person or a Memorial person?
Memorial.
You're a Memorial.
I'm a Memorial kid.
All right.
My sister teaches at Memorial now.
Oh, really?
Heather Galloy teaches sign language. Yeah.
I, Representative, I've said this, and I'm writing something right now, that no one in Wisconsin is more than 2 degrees of separation from anyone else in Wisconsin. That's what I found in the 3-4 days I've been here.
Everybody knows
it's a small town shaped like the state of Wisconsin.
That is true.
No, and I think I say that as a great thing. I think it's just your mom stopped by yesterday. A friend of yours stopped by yesterday. You put him on the air. I mean, it's just, I love it.
That's who we are, right, in Wisconsin. Representative Emerson is also on the Governor's Council of Migrant Labor. She's worked hard on anti-human trafficking issues. She's the ranking Democrat on Colleges and Universities Committee in the Assembly and the ranking Democrat on Rural Development, Justice, and Public Safety. Welcome to the program, Representative. As you knock on doors, we were talking about this. I think every elected official or those running for it are pretty sore these days. Feet and otherwise, what are you hearing on the doors in your district here in Northwest Wisconsin?
You know, the first and foremost, when we're talking about what issues mean the most to people, a lot of what I'm getting is, can't you guys just get along down there? Mm-hmm. Can't you just work together? And I think that's, you know, the leftovers of more than a decade worth of gerrymandering.
Right.
You know, unfortunately, people don't have to talk to each other as much as we'd like them to in order to get things passed. So that's one of the things that we hear about. Also with my race, because it's a very different district than I've ever had before. There's mailers, there's TV, there's, you know, digital. I can't play a dang game of solitaire without some ad for or against popping up on my stinking solitaire game. So The other thing that we're hearing is that people are tired of the ads, and especially the very negative ones that have been out against me. It's been It's been pretty rough this year. So
I'm going to move your mic just a little close to your mouth, please, so we make sure everybody hears you across the network here.
That's the first time I've heard I'm not loud enough. So
We brought up your district map here on our local screen on our computer, and the one on the right was the previous map that was gerrymandered. The one on the left is the new map that you're running under here in 2024, thanks to...
What is it, most of Trempealeau? Is that the...
Most of Eau Claire County.
Oh, it's mostly Eau Claire County.
Yep, basically through Eau Claire County, roughly I-94 is kind of the cutoff. And so then in the city of Eau Claire, roughly the Eau Claire River is kind of the cutoff.
But if you look at the previous map versus the current one, the previous one is all squiggly lines and tails. And this one, the new map, guess what? There's actually right angles, and it's you know, more contiguous or more compact, I should say. What has that meant to people, your voters on the street? Do they actually know who they're voting for finally?
That is the one thing that we've really been working for a lot this year, is making sure people know who is going to represent them in the assembly. I mean, people know at the top of the ticket, half of them even know who their congressional representative or candidate is. But once we get down to the assembly, they're like, I don't know. And, you know, signs are confusing around and things like that, too. So our big thing is making sure people know who they could even be voting for, and then making sure that they know a little bit about us. So my district changed significantly under the new maps. It went from being one of those really blue dots to a purple, I don't know, splat. Right. So,
interesting, representative, you say that, because as you know, it's the people who are closest to you from, you know, an elected official perspective, a governance perspective, that have the most direct impact on your life. Yes, I mean, look, I mean, the presidential campaign we're dealing with is in many ways existential. But the people that you serve, right, like the stuff that you all do at the legislature, try and get done in Madison, is going to have a much more direct and fast impact on someone's individual outlook, individual life, than, you know, somebody who is, you know, thousands of miles away or, you know, doesn't have to deal with the day-to-day. Because, you know, look, I think this is right. Like, representative democracy means that you have an expectation that people are going to go to work for you, because you don't want to worry about that, or you don't have the time to worry about that every day. And so how have you, I mean, there's the campaign piece of this, but how do you make sure that the folks in the 91st know, is it constituent services? How do you make sure that they know that you're there to look after them?
Yeah, we've always prided ourselves on our constituent services in our office. And when people come from outside the district, we say, no, you need to talk to this person. And if they've said, well, they're not answering my call or they're not returning my call, you know, then we'll work with them. But first and foremost, we do what we can for the people in our district. Mm-hmm. But I can't represent the entire state. So when people are coming
Well, not yet.
Yeah, right.
Oh, man, this campaign's been rough enough. I don't know about it.
Stay tuned. More with State Representative Jody Emerson on the other side. Reed, Trigvy, and Pi from the Norske Nook. You're listening to the All Ball Show on Civic Media.
So do you have campus?
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
It was the most embarrassing moment of the Senate debate. Eric Hovde didn't know what was in the farm bill.
I'm not an expert on the farm bill.
Really? One out of nine Wisconsinites work in agriculture. But billionaire California banker Eric Hovde couldn't be bothered to learn about the farm bill. Hovde even said, quote, "Why in God's green earth would I know all the details in the farm bill?" The Wisconsin Farm Bureau has endorsed Tammy Baldwin. She's the first statewide Democrat they've endorsed in over 20 years. The Farm Bureau says Tammy Baldwin has been, quote, a steadfast advocate for Wisconsin agriculture. They cite her work creating the Dairy Business Innovation Act, which is helping farmers across Wisconsin expand and hire new workers. It's a clear choice. Billionaire California banker Eric Hovde, who doesn't give a damn about farmers, or Tammy Baldwin, who's working hard for us.
I'm Tammy Baldwin, running for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Bringing a house of pain.
Backside pressure. Down he goes. Inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off by Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Saturday. The Heartland Trophy is up for grabs in Iowa City. Our coverage begins at 4:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on your local Civic Media radio station, 1260 AM, WLAK.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Sounds fair.
Sure. Football show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live here at the Norsky Nook in beautiful Osseo, Wisconsin. Mr. Zomers, what did you dial up? Reed wants to know what this Renaissance music.
It is a new song from Bon Iver from Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
See?
Okay.
Look at that. That's
a big fan.
Look
big
at that.
Bon Iver. In college when I was.
I had no idea he was from Eau Claire.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's helped.
A memorial guy.
First Bon Iver, then the Violent Femmes. I mean, my mind is blown.
Wisconsin music everywhere.
So you know everywhere. What you'll like about this, Representative, I think, is so...
By the way, we are talking to Representative Jody Emerson. Here represents the 91st Assembly District. Trevi Olson from Lincoln Project. Reed Galen from Join the Union. Go ahead.
So on the first of these that we did, so Todd and I got really tired. I kind of cut my teeth with Tommy Thompson World and Scott McCallum and all those guys. And, you know, I used to think being governor of the state of Wisconsin is an easy job. You just show up, talk about how Democrats are sucking on limes and scowls on their faces. Harley's roar, Eagles soar, and Packers score, and Wisconsin's great. You go home. It was like easy. But anyway, we got tired of that because the Republicans are always doing that now. So we were like, they got all these people. We're going to go tour the state, talk about what's great. So we went to the University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire, and we had Mike Johnson, who was a classmate of mine at Eau Claire and a buddy of mine, who's now the superintendent. And this is what I wanted to talk to you a little bit about because I know you went to River Falls. You know, you've got these people like Scott Walker, and I get his Christmas card every year. Known him since Badger Boys State. He brags about how his kid went to the University of Wisconsin Engineering School in his Christmas letter. But you know what? He's busy calling the University of Wisconsin system a woke den of indoctrination. Like, which is it, right? Because the University of Wisconsin River Falls, as you know, haven't gone there. That's the core of my hometown. Eau Claire, UW-Eau Claire, where I went, where you grew up, it's the core. That and the public schools, where people like Mike and Todd's sister are working every day. It's the heart of our small communities, and there's a segment of our legislature and of the former leaders of the Republican Party, who are still leaders of the Republican Party, who are attacking that constantly. And I just don't – when people are at the football game here in Osseo, like I don't know what color Osseo wears, but when they're on an Eau Claire Memorial game, man, they're wearing blue and white. They're not wearing red or blue hats.
Right. Yeah, I think – I mean – I don't think it's an accident that one of the first things that people tried to tear apart was an education system. You know, it leads to people not thinking critically, not knowing how to research topics and just taking whatever bumper sticker they see as gospel truth and going from there. But, you know, especially with these small towns like River Falls, like Menominee, like Eau Claire, Stevens Point, you know, we're closing enough of the two-year campuses around the state. And that's going to be really hard for these campuses or these communities to bounce back from. I cannot imagine what River Falls would be like if that campus needed to close. Mm. It would be a tragedy for the entire community and, you know, for any other place too. So we need to make sure that we are funding our universities and tech schools well. That is training the workers of tomorrow. It's retraining workers of today. And it's also pulling people into the state, pulling businesses in. You don't want to bring a business here if there's not a good education system for you to get workers.
Yeah,
I mean, this is part of workforce development.
Speaking of workforce, and we talked about this, Reed and Trivia and I, on the way up on the bus a little bit. You know, the dirty secret that a lot of Republicans, our former party, don't like to talk about is without immigrant labor, without documented, let's be honest, also some undocumented labor, Wisconsin's ag industry would collapse. I mean, collapse. And it used to be that Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush used to fight over how can we make it migrant labor to come here legally, pay taxes, and go back and forth. And now, you know, now we have what we have today. Talk about in Wisconsin what you're doing on the migrant labor force.
So with the migrant labor task force, basically what we do is kind of keep track of where the migrant labor camps are. You know, they move from picking strawberries to picking, you know, beans to picking apples, and making sure that those folks who are here legally and with documentation have safe places to live, their children have schools to go to, and that we're doing everything that we can to make sure that they're not being put at risk. Before I was elected, my career was in anti-human trafficking. And so that's where I come into this. And you know, we know if people don't have safe places to live and work, the exploitation that can happen with them is huge. And having some of this oversight, or, you know, as some of my colleagues might call it, dirty regulation,
right,
keeps people safe.
The other quick thing, we're not running out of time, I want to make sure we get to this. Rural development, again, it drives me bananas that folks are voting for people in our former party who go to Madison and vote against rural issues.
It never ceases to amaze me, and I think that's where we have the fall of media, too. Here from Eau Claire, Stevens Point, those other areas that aren't within an hour circle of Madison, they don't hear what's going on down in Madison.
Yeah.
They rely on representatives or senators to come home and say, this is what I did.
Yes.
It's easy to say that, but where's the receipts? Where's the facts?
Yeah. Well, and I mean, the other piece of that is, right, so I was in Eau Claire and met with a reporter from the Eau Claire Leader, and he was telling me, you know, back when I ran Jim Harstow's campaign against Ron Kind, so it's when Ron Kind won the first time in 96, they had three reporters at the Eau Claire Leader who are covering it. Mm-hmm. They don't have anybody that can cover it full time. They have people.
I'm not
who
sure if they have three
part-time
reporters, yeah, at the Leader, no, program
they,
right
they,
now.
They don't. I met with the editor, mm-hmm, and that becomes a real threat. Which is part of what we try and do as civic media is provide hometown local news and,
right,
and information, because it makes the job of people like you harder. When Barb Geronimus was representing this area, right? Like, she could be in the Eau Claire Leader, Rod Moen, you know, and Republicans too, Ron Brown, whatever. Getting that message out, that does not exist anymore in these places to be able to do that.
Yep.
And that makes it really hard.
Because people can say whatever they want to up here,
exactly,
go down to Madison. If they're Republicans, they're listening to Robin Voss, they're doing what he says, and nobody up here knows the difference.
1 minute left. What have I not asked you yet? You want to make sure that folks know going into this election?
You know, one of the things that's really important, I think, everybody knows what's at the top of the ticket. We've all heard the ads. We've all seen it. You know, we're ready for it to be done. What we're finding is people don't know who their down ballot races are. Mm-hmm. Educate yourself. Figure out who you can be voting for and make sure that you're voting for it. Because we've got an opportunity this year to flip the assembly, a really strong possibility. But it's only going to happen if everybody who's voting for Kamala votes all the way down the ticket to the Democrat. So,
Mr. Zahmer is always fantastic. He'll put that up under the show notes. I believe it's wi.vote.gov or
wi.vote.wi.gov.
Thank you.
I haven't said it 40,000 times. So,
appreciate it, our representative. I really, really appreciate you being here, Jody Emerson from the 91st Assembly District. Stay safe out there on the campaign trail. Best of luck, and you're welcome to the show anytime.
I would, especially if there's pie included.
Right.
I'm here anytime.
And there's pie. And there's pie for the Norsky Nook.
Come on early enough on a Wednesday, you get
come,
both credit.
Come on back, and we'll have Mr. Craig Gilbert and pie on the Almost Show from Osseo.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
This is your local civic media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
for WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin State Superintendent Jill Underley is proposing free meals for Wisconsin students. Health and education officials say a lack of reliable access to food is a major barrier in learning, and one in four high school students across the state are dealing with food insecurity. The proposal would cost $294 million and is included in the Department of Public Instruction's budget proposal. The free meals would be available to all students regardless of their financial situations. The state legislature would need to approve the measure. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers and the Department of Natural Resources have announced nearly $8 million in grant funding for 12 projects across the state. The funding was provided through the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program, with grants going to organizations like local governments, nonprofits, and county forests. Among the funded projects are things like an ADA-accessible boat launch facility in Ashland, the construction of new walking paths in Hillsboro, and the development of a riverfront trail and pavilion in Prescott. Curling fans in the Northwest Wisconsin area won't need to travel far if they want to watch the best in the country compete. The USA Curling Men's and Women's National Championships are scheduled to be held at the Duluth Entertainment Convention Center at the end of January. The winners of the event will go on to the World Championships and possibly even earn a chance to compete in the 2026 Olympic team trials. The championship event will take place from January 27th to February 2nd. Tickets for the event are available online. A Duluth man is facing multiple charges relating to an August shooting incident. According to court records, 56-year-old Andre Woods was involved in a shooting on East 3rd Street in Duluth on August 24th. According to law enforcement authorities, 10 to 12 shots were fired during the incident, and officers stopped the vehicle the wounded Woods was driving as he was heading away from the scene. The other man went to the hospital later with gunshot wounds and told authorities he and Woods had gotten into an argument before the shooting. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Need more Nick Offerman in your TV viewing life? Yes, please. Variety reports Nick will join Elle Fanning and Michelle Pfeiffer in the new Apple TV show, Margo's Got Money Troubles. Fanning plays a woman desperate for money who starts an OnlyFans site. Been there. Offerman plays her father, a retired pro wrestler, and Pfeiffer plays her mother, a Hooters waitress. The show is based on the Ruth Thorpe novel of the same name that was just recently released. The first season will offer 8 episodes. In a recent interview with the Associated Press, Hugh Grant says he killed 3 people. Of course, he did so, whimsically, and with that adorable accent and toothy grin. Grant is trying to get people's attention to go see his new movie, Heretic, in which he plays a creepy character named Mr. Reed. Grant appears to be moving on from his rom-com roles and looking for darker parts. I'm not saying the 64-year-old actor actually killed 3 people, but saying you did so in an effort to promote a movie really is the perfect cover. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Here we go. Those temperatures are crashing. Got rain rolling in, ramping up tonight, potentially mixing with snow through the overnight and into early tomorrow morning before it flips to all snow tomorrow afternoon. Trick-or-treat forecast, temperatures will be at 34 degrees. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 50 degrees at our studios.
Matt Nair on air.
Darren Von Rudin, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden wasn't really concerned about hearing from the farmers after he got done being unhappy with you about an ad you made months ago.
Our members didn't get to tell their stories. And in the end, if you don't agree with each other, at least the conversation can happen. That really didn't happen.
One would think being in Congress would require a slightly thicker skin.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Will you dress up for Halloween, and what will you wear?
I'm not going to lie, I'm a lazy Halloweener.
A lazy Halloweener.
I just wear a football jersey and call it a day.
I have a prisoner costume, and it goes on over your other clothes, so I'll probably put that on when I take trick-or-treaters. I was never a huge Halloween guy to begin with. Never a huge Halloweener. A new phrase has been coined here tonight.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Marquette University Law School's newest poll drops, and I'll have Charles Franklin to tell you all about it. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Of course, everybody loves.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are here live on location at the beautiful Norske Nook in downtown Osseo, Wisconsin, in northwest Wisconsin, just below Eau Claire, where I have ordered a Jim Beam pie. Hold the pie. It's going to be on the way to the table soon. Trigby and Reed Galen are here at the table with me. Trigby Olson, senior advisor of the Lincoln Project. Reed Galen, one of the co-founders of the Lincoln Project and now president of the union. And our friend Chris Andrews, who just walked in front of the damn camera. Chris, we appreciate you making an appearance. How are you? How are you, Chris?
Things are falling apart at the nook.
Let's, in the words of Dan Schaefer, let's recombobulate here and get some real knowledge here at the table. Joining us via StreamYard, he is a former Washington Bureau chief and national reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He is a current fellow at the Lou Barr Center at Marquette University Law School. Craig Gilbert, thank you for taking the time. Craig, how you been?
Happy to be with you. I'd be happier if I were at the North
Canoe. Yes, right? I mean, it's just a party here every minute. That's what that's what it is. Look, nobody knows, in my opinion, Wisconsin analytics better than you. I still refer from time to time on the show a couple of great pieces you've written on my part of the state, the southwest and western part, as one of the swingiest district. And we're not talking about what happens in the barns after dark. We're talking about the voting of swinginess of southwest Wisconsin. How do you see that playing out in this race?
Well, it's interesting on so many levels, right? Because it's sort of like the home of the Trump-Obama voter, Western Wisconsin. It did swing a lot in 2016. But it's still, if you compare it to other rural parts of Wisconsin, it's still a lot more competitive. And Democrats do better there with rural voters than they do in most of the rest of the state and certainly in the rest of the country. And then you've sort of got, the Tim Walz effect with some Western Wisconsinites, living in Minnesota TV markets. You had a lot of candidate travel there. So there's a lot going on, and it does have this kind of swingy history. It's got a little bit of a ticket splitting history too.
Yeah, and those ticket splitters are going to be interesting to me. We've talked about it here with Reed and Trigby. You know, where do the Evers Johnson voters go? I know you're really not into making predictions, but looking at analytics, what are they telling you? These new numbers maybe out today with Marquette Law School poll.
Yeah, so the poll, in the Marquette poll, our race, our polling is tightened in both races with still a very small Democratic advantage in each one, and that's in keeping with what other polls or many other polls, not every poll, but many other polls are finding. We do have a kind of a Republican leaning sample, more so than we've been getting, but there has been a trend toward higher kind of Republican Party ID in our polling in the state. So if you think that reflects the electorate, then this is where the race is at. If you think that the electorate will be a little bit more 50-50 in party ID, that's probably good news then for Kamala Harris and Tammy Baldwin. But getting back to your question, what we have seen in our polling this fall with undecided voters is that group includes a lot of conflicted moderate Republicans and some conflicted independents, the double haters who don't like either candidate. But those conflicted Republicans, we are seeing more defections among Republican voters, not a ton, but more than we're seeing defections among Democratic voters. And so that could play a role.
In case people missed it at the top of the show, the final pre-election Marquette Law School poll among likely voters in Wisconsin, three different versions of the close, as you just tweeted out a while ago. In a two-way, it's Harris 48, Trump 47, undecided 5. In a two-way, but asking undecideds how they lean, it's Harris 50, Trump 49. And in a third-party candidate included, it's Harris 46, Trump 44, RFK Jr. 5, and other Indy candidates combined at 5%. What does that actually mean in English?
Well, it means one thing to watch is that Wisconsin is one of the few battlegrounds where RFK Jr. is still on the ballot. And I think, the betting is that is a little bit favorable for Democrats in that you see even in this poll that Kamala Harris, the differences aren't dramatic, but she's got a 1-point lead in the head-to-head, but a 2-point lead when you also give people the option of picking these independent and third-party candidates. And that's another reason why RFK was trying to get off the ballot. Republicans wanted to get him off the ballot, and Democrats wanted to keep him on the ballot. So that's certainly one thing to watch. I mean, the bottom line, obviously, is it's, you know, nothing in the polling tells us with anything approaching certitude who's going to win the race. It tells us a lot about kind of some of the fault lines. It tells us a little bit about kind of enthusiasm on each side. And it, you know, there's sort of bad news and good news for both sides in this poll.
I mean, I would say, you know, and Craig, it's nice to meet you, is that the things that Craig laid out vis-a-vis conflicted Republicans and RFK, those are both bad for Donald Trump. You know, Trump, I mean, remember that the whole conceit of a Bobby Kennedy candidacy early on was take bark off Joe Biden last summer. Well, then the animal got out of the cage and he decided to run as an independent, running basically along the same line as Trump, just with an anti-vax, you know, bonus, because the RFK people are super anti-vax and Trump is vaxxed to the gills, right? So there's and that's a real thing amongst that subset. And then, as we talked about, you know, those disaffected or conflicted Republicans, Trump can't afford to lose any of them. He can't afford to lose any of them. And so I think that, you know, you're right, as Craig said, it's hard to say with any certainty how this will ultimately work out. But just based on the two things we've heard there, I think that Harris has an advantage going into the last 5 days.
So I'll give listeners the advantage. Craig and I, pretty much about this time every election season, get on the phone after the Marquette poll comes out and talk, geek out on numbers. So I'm going to ask him what they'll get a window into this. So, Craig, here's what I'm wondering. You got Harris is going to Madison, to Dane County, to the UW. Then she's going to Green Bay on Friday. Trump's in Green Bay with Favre today, does not have anything else in the schedule. They had Obama in Eau Claire. It strikes me as that says to me Trump's more on defense trying to solidify base and Harris is on offense trying to widen the gap. But do you agree with that?
I don't know how confident I am about kind of the tactics and strategy behind all these decisions. But, you know, I do think that, you know, there's obviously some really key battlegrounds geographically in the state, and there's some really key battlegrounds with respect to slicing and dicing the electorate, like we've been talking about. You mentioned Green Bay. That's the biggest sort of purple place in Wisconsin. So yeah. The interesting thing about that part of the state is that, you know, big swing toward Trump in 2016, but it's swung a little bit away from him, even though, you know, Republicans did well up there. He won that region by fewer points than he won it by in 2016. So I'm really curious whether it's trending in either direction in this race. And then obviously both sides are doing a lot of, you know, kind of base mobilization. But, you know, a big part of this is whether either side can reduce their deficits with voters that they're weak with. And, you know, we see it with Democrats trying to, you know, lose by a little less among rural voters, including in Western Wisconsin. And, you know, you see it with Republicans trying to kind of stem the erosion over multiple elections in the Milwaukee suburbs. And you even saw Trump going to Dane County. I don't know what the effect of that is, but, you know, it was kind of like in the spirit of, you know, well, let's at least try to get blown out by a smaller margin in Dane County this time around.
See,
so
I
all those things are going on.
Well, and RFK Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard were in Madison earlier this week, I think.
And so were AOC and
Bernie.
Yeah.
But here's what I kind of wonder is, I mean, and you know the state of the demographics, right? Like, if you're Trump and you're trying, or a Republican, really, this has kind of been a rule of thumb in the past, and you're trying to create separation and it's close. You think that the Fox River Valley and the Wild Counties are going to offset Milwaukee and Dane, and it's just going to be close. You're typically going to La Crosse, Eau Claire, and maybe even into, which Reed did that event for President Bush, Hudson, St. Croix, Pierce, right? You're going right up the river. The fact that they're both over in the valleys, it says to me that they're feeling like that piece, which it's a good point by you. It's really purple. It's becoming more purple, right?
Yeah.
But
I think there's a little bit of catch up going on here, too, because there was a lot of activity in the West a month ago, and people were wondering, you know, how come they haven't been to Green Bay? And I was with Kamala Harris in Green Bay a week or two ago. They're hitting. They're trying to hit all of that. I mean, you know, Republicans are also trying to gain a little ground in the cities. I mean, they think that you know, either with voters of color or with working class whites in some of these blue collar cities. Now, we didn't see much evidence of that in 2020. So we're talking about something that really hasn't shown up at the polls with the exception of basically Kenosha 4 years ago. But they're hoping, you know, to cut into the Democratic margins in Milwaukee and some other cities like Janesville and Green Bay and Racine. And, you know, we're going to have to wait and see. Again, there may not be a ton of votes to be gained there. The big moves, I mean, the big story, you know, obviously in 2016 was the big rural shift toward Trump. And the big story in 2020 was the big suburban shift away from Trump. And one of the questions hovering over all this time around is Trump kind of maxed out now or close to maxed out with rural voters, with northern Wisconsin, or is there still in this environment, which is not a great environment for Democrats, given Biden's approval ratings and given attitudes for the economy, is there still room for him to grow there? Because I think he needs to make further inroads, because there's places in Wisconsin where he's going to lose ground and he needs to make up for that.
Well, but Craig, how many votes are how many more votes are available in those rural areas, right?
So exactly. That's
there's only
the question.
A finite number of voters.
Yeah,
right?
There's a finite number of voters. You don't have population growth. And then, you know, I guess if I were on the Republican side and saying, you know, what's the reason for maybe believing, you know, again, after making these huge inroads 8 years ago, that we can get more vote out of there. And you might say to yourself, well, Wisconsin is still a place where rural white voters and blue collar white voters, even though they've shifted in a Republican direction, still are a lot less Republican than they are in most other places. So maybe you think, well, maybe we can just push that vote closer to the way this segment of the electorate is voting in Ohio, maybe.
We're talking. Go ahead, Greg.
No, and so that's, you know, that might be your reason for thinking that. But I think it's a real question. I mean, I think it's a real question about how many more net votes there are to gain in those parts of the state for all those reasons.
We're talking, I just want to get this in quick. Craig Gilbert, former Washington Bureau Chief and national political reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and now a fellow at the Lubar Center at Marquette University Law School. A minute and a half left before first break.
Here's the other thing, though, Craig, and I think, you know, you talked about 16 and 20. There was some seminal stuff that happened in 2022 as well, which is the campus turnout. And you and I have talked about this a lot separate, but those counties that have UW system schools, both the schools themselves, like, it's going to be really interesting to see if Democrats can keep that turnout up, because if they run up the same kind of percentage numbers of turnout in places like UW-Eau Claire, UW-Stevens Point, UW-La Crosse, I don't really think there's a lot of places in those schools where Republicans can cut into those margins, and that becomes a real issue for,
well, especially if you're relying on young white guys to, you know, not be hungover or not be otherwise uninterested in participating.
Right? There is a huge gender gap with those younger voters. We're
and if they have to go with their girlfriends, they might get an earful en route.
Right.
Craig, when we come back, I want your take on the numbers that came out about an hour ago on the U.S. Senate race between incumbent Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin and O.C. Orange County Eric Hovde trying to come back home and run here in Wisconsin. Wait, running. Maybe gaining some ground, talk about that race a little bit and much more. Come back with Craig Gilbert, Reed Galen, Trigvi Olson. We're live from the Norske Nook. And yes, there, in fact, will be pie, more pie on the other side. And we're going to somehow, Trigby's going to have to take some out in a case back to D.C. for Craig or something like that.
Yeah, well, don't rub it in.
We'll work it out for you, Craig. Come on back. We're live here at Osseo on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
It's time to get out the truth about Eric Hovde. Hovde made his money the old-fashioned way. He inherited it. How can he relate or make decisions for us?
Now he's the CEO of a billion-dollar bank in California and a huge landlord. With people like Eric Hovde, the rich pay less, and we pay the price. I'm not a political person. I'm a mom. I would never vote for a person like Eric Hovde.
Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action, abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Wisconsin has many state symbols, but did you know there's an official ballad?
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams.
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams, composed by Sherry Sarazin.
I don't think it was an hour, and I had the music matched up.
With long ago help from her grandmother.
She wrote a poem in the late 1920s about where she lived in Wisconsin.
And it's now the state ballad. So are these also official Wisconsin symbols? The Kringle, Wood Violet, American Water Spaniel? The answer coming up. The official process can take years and includes advocating the legislature to make it law. Now, along with the official ballad, are the Kringle, Wood Violet, and American Water Spaniel also state symbols? Yes, each is a celebration of the state and a slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
After raising the kids, having weddings, and getting them settled, my wife and I prepared to spend our very first Christmas alone. They were all at the in-laws this year, so we watched old videos of them growing up, went to bed early, and Christmas morning my wife said, "Let's never do that again."
We're on our own again this year, but we're actually looking forward to it because we rented a private vacation home in Alexandria, Minnesota. Lakes, shopping, restaurants, and new memories.
Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live on location here from the Norske Nook, the bakery, the restaurant, a little slice of heaven, pun intended. Great place for pie. See how I did that? Reed will be here all week along with me here at the pie table. Right. Wouldn't that be a great way just to spend election night eating pie?
Yeah. I mean, most better than anywhere other way.
Better than anywhere else. Yeah, absolutely.
My dad used to go to movies. Pie is better.
Trevi, you go to movies? On election?
I go to movies.
Chris Andrews and I, former boss Scott Klug, went golfing. What do you do on election day?
Fret.
Fret? Craig Gilbert? What do you do on election day?
Well, I try to sleep if it's possible because I won't be sleeping on election night.
Very good. Craig Gilbert, of course, a longtime and a decorated reporter, journalist, former Washington Bureau chief and national political reporter for Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, current fellow at the Lubar Center at Marquette University Law School, going over this brand new law school poll, Marquette University Law School poll. Numbers were out about an hour ago. Walk us through this, Craig. On the Baldwin side, two-way race, likely voters, Baldwin 51 and Eric Hovde 49%. Dramatic changes? Does it mean anything? Can we tell anything?
Not a dramatic change. It's tightened. Yeah. You know, the Baldwin campaign, I was saying the race was tightening for many weeks now. So we've got both the presidential and the Senate race tightening. You know, if the races are truly that close, you know, it just creates or at least the possibility of a split outcome. Do you guys know when the last time in Wisconsin we had different parties winning for president and Senate on the same ballot?
Wow.
Let's see. Well, now I have to go back through my head here. 04?
Let's just say it was a really long time ago, during my lifetime, but I don't know about you guys.
I would go back Kastenmeyer-Reagan. No, actually, that's for U.S. Congress, not Senate. Boy, Trigby, any guesses? Tells us?
What is this?
Sorry,
don't worry about it.
I was looking at.
Okay, I'll give you the answer.
I was looking at the polling.
It's not like we're on library.
Craig, go ahead. When was the last time Wisconsin voters sent a presidential candidate and a U.S. Senate candidate of different parties or voted for them in the same election?
It was 1968.
Oh, 68.
Gaylord Nelson won the Senate race and
Richard Nixon.
Richard Milhouse Nixon won the presidential contest in Wisconsin.
Tia Nelson was on the program a while back.
It doesn't happen very often. But if you're wondering, you know, why is this race tightened from where it started out, I think, you know, one reason is certainly the ad wars. And, you know, we can talk about the impact of that. But another reason is that, you know, when the Senate race is on the same ballot as the presidential race, you know, we know presidential elections are very polarizing. And the pattern in Wisconsin has been that not only has these have these races turned out the same way, but the margins have been very similar, much more so than we have when we have a sort of Senate race paired with a governor's race, where we had a split outcome like 2 years ago. So the ad wars, you know, the spending, Tammy Baldwin's, you know, negatives are at a peak. So are Eric Hovde's. They're both underwater. You know, those are all things that happen in a campaign. She still has, in our polling, you know, a slight advantage. You know, she is still, like we talked about on the presidential side, getting a slightly larger crossover vote from Republican voters, and Eric Hovde is getting a crossover vote from Democratic voters. So it's going to be really interesting to see when the dust settles. I mean, we're going to get the best answers after the election, looking at the, you know, county level data and the local data, because, you know, there'll probably be some differences in the mapping of the Senate race and the mapping of the presidential race. It'll be interesting to see where Tammy Baldwin does a little bit better than Kamala Harris and vice versa. But the other interesting thing to keep in mind is that, you know, there's probably going to be a bigger third party vote for president than there is for Senate. And so what are those presidential third party voters do on the Senate side?
About a minute and a half left here. Craig Gilbert, talk about enthusiasm and your numbers that you're seeing that Marquette Law School poll in Wisconsin and what that could mean for turnout.
Yeah, the single biggest, like, unmistakable, dramatic finding over the course of the year in our polling has been the rise in Democratic enthusiasm from basically in the toilet to now outstripping Republican enthusiasm. And in this latest poll, they're not too far apart, but now it's Democrats with, you know, a 5 or 10 point advantage in enthusiasm over Republicans. When Biden was the nominee, it was like a 20 point deficit. So that's a sea change. It doesn't tell us which side is going to have better turnout. The ground game will have something to do with that. And you've probably talked to a lot of people about the differences in the Republican ground game and the Democratic ground game. But I would say enthusiasm, motivation, and the mobilization effectiveness of the get out the vote efforts on both sides are going to, you know, they do matter in an election that appears to be this close.
Craig Gilbert, as your colleague at the Marquette Law School poll, Charles Franklin likes to say, remember, polls don't vote, people do. So be a voter, make a plan to vote, and get out and vote. We appreciate your perspective, your expertise, and being a friend of this program and the generosity of your time. Thank you so much, Craig. Really appreciate it.
It was my pleasure. Thanks.
And any pie requests for Drigby on the way home?
Strawberry rhubarb.
That's one of my favorites too. That's fantastic.
I'm not coming straight home. If I was, I would. And I'd just walk it over to Craig's house.
All right. Thanks, Craig. Really, really appreciate you.
Okay.
Be well. Gentlemen, we're wrapping things up here. Reed Galen, president of the union and one of the co-founders of the Lincoln Project. Trigvi Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. Elise Jordan from MSNBC. Also state representative Jody Emerson from this area as well, the 91st Assembly District. And Gene, the manager here at the beautiful Norske Nook, and all the great staff.
Yeah, can I just say, for all those folks who are still looking for something to do here in Wisconsin, go to jointheunion.us. We have 4,000 different volunteer opportunities. You can filter by Wisconsin. In fact, where within Wisconsin you are, guys. If you haven't voted, go vote. If you have voted, get involved, knock on doors, text, call. It all matters.
Jointheunion.com. Keep banging your drum. Maggie Dawn is next.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, what is the state of the race in Wisconsin? Ben Wickler will be here. J.R. Radcliffe to talk all things sports. We wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Todd Alba joins us. Hey, Todd.
We're here in front of the Bonham Theater to talk entertainment. Todd forgot his battery pack. We are running off of Todd's truck engine.
I don't want to rub salt in the wound, but if your travel budget got cut, I'm just wondering if it coincided. All of a sudden, I got like a 10 grand a week per diem. I don't know if that is related.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.